So welcome back to the show today here on SiriusXM 110. Joining me right by phone, and I'm really interested in this segment, is Caroline Blazovsky. She's known as America's Healthy Home Expert. She's a certified mold remediator, indoor air quality expert, and she has a background in sustainable design. For 16 years, she's helped people evaluate their homes and improve their living space. What a great idea. Hi, Caroline. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Samantha. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very excited because we are all very concerned about having healthy homes. And I think a lot of us do not have healthy homes. So, you know, and there's things in our houses we just don't even know are there, obviously, because they're microscopic or almost microscopic. And I think people hear about mold. Some people might hear about black mold. Mostly we think about mold as, you know, those fuzzy green things that are on our counters that used to be maybe a muffin, you know, and suddenly it's taken on a life of its own. But your work is so interesting because you're helping people create entire healthy homes. So how about doing that?
Well, the interesting thing is that for 16 years, I've been working with physicians across the country, and I work with patients directly, too. But the basic premise behind everything is that, you know, we're always concerned about what we're putting into our body. And you know this better than anyone. We always hear about nutrition. And then now, you know, we hear a lot about DNA. Is it something genetic? You know, if you're going to get something like cancer or autoimmune disease, could it be something that runs in your DNA? So a lot of the physicians that I work with now are focusing on those two aspects, but we're also incorporating in the whole environment. And, you know, what is your environment like? What are you exposed to? What do you work around? What's in your home? And when we put those three things together, nutrition, your genetic makeup, and then your environment, we hope that you'll be a lot healthier if we can keep those things in check. So the basic idea behind my business and what I do is help people to look at their homes, analyze their homes, see what's there, and see if there may be anything that's out of the norm that could be contributing to an impact on their immune system or their health and well-being. So it's been very successful, and a lot of physicians are understanding that there is this big relationship.
And do you think that perhaps some of the issues people have, fatigue, achy joints, difficulty, you know, breathing, sleep problems, even weight problems, could be related to some of these unseen toxins that we have in our home?
Absolutely. I believe, I mean, it's just my personal opinion, and from, you know, studying these things for 16 years and seeing that, especially in a home, there are so many things, and this isn't to scare people. It's when you buy a home, it's a big responsibility. And there's a lot of stuff that goes into a home that can go wrong just from testing, you know, air quality, right? If you have pets, if you have pet protein, if you have a damp basement, if you have water intrusion, anything from your plumbing that leaks, that can cause mold and toxic mold. Those are all things that can wreak havoc on your immune system. Dander is very benign. It's something we all shed dander. We go into an environment, you shed dander, I do, pets do. Pets always get blamed, but people shed it as well. And if you build up of dander, then you get high dust mites in your home. So there's a lot of things that in a bucket can cause a lot of inflammation in the body. So ignoring those factors or saying, well, you know, it can't be my home environment that's making me not feel well, is really just ignorant. It is and should be one of the main focuses when you go to a physician. They should see or listen to you or have an assessment of some kind in front of them so they know what kind of environment you're living in. And it's kind of funny because I always talk about the Little House on the Prairie episode where Doc Baker used to come to the house and he would see, you know.
Yeah,
He would analyze you, but he could also see what was surrounding you. And what, now that medicine's changed and we no longer have doctors that visit homes, obviously, for many, many years now, that element's lost, and it is a really important piece to why people don't feel well.
And I think people don't take the time to look around their homes for some of the red flags that may signal that, hey, there's a problem here. So speaking of that, what are some of the found in the home that maybe we tend to overlook?
Well, I'm a big proponent of pets. Like, we're getting more and more people who have multiple pets in the home. It used to be you had one pet. Now you've got two cats and two dogs.
I have three cats, I'm just saying.
Right. So it's become very popular that more people, especially, saving, animal rescue, all of these things, that they're having pets in the home. Now, pets are great because they give us an emotional support system, and they're great for our immune system in the sense that they bring us a lot of happiness, but they're also can be a trigger to our immune system. So when you talk about pet proteins, and you talk about dogs, cats, birds, horses, all of these things leave behind these proteins that can trigger all kinds of inflammation in the body. So my concern is that if you're going to have pets and you say an immune system problem, or you do have allergies, you have to be really cognizant if that's the right path for you. Because they do definitely suppress and can create, conditions that are unhealthy for people who are susceptible.
All right, so let's just talk about me for a moment, because it should always be all about me. I have three cats,
okay.
But I vacuum just about every day, or at least every other day. And I don't have any rugs. I don't have a huge floor. And not that anyone in my house is actually allergic, I just don't want people to walk into my house. So for people who are maybe have a slight allergy or concerned about this, does vacuuming help in doing laundry and keeping rugs out of the house? I probably should get my curtains cleaned more often.
Well, for first off, you want to make sure anybody who's vacuuming, whether you have pets or not, you want to make sure that you're using proper vacuum. So you need to be using a type of vacuum that has HEPA filtration, mm-hmm. and you've got to be using something that's got a closed system to it. And when it comes to vacuums, what you get, you get what you pay for, that type of mentality, because really the better vacuums that you should be using really, do cost more money, but they're well worth their investment. So that's the first thing.
Oh, I just have another question before you go on. You say a closed environment in the vacuum. What does that mean?
Oh, it's a closed system, right? So when you're vacuuming, you ever open up a vacuum, people will see that there's all in the canister. You'll go to take the bag out and there's dust leaking everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how your system should be.
Okay.
So there's certain vacuum companies that make a seal. So when you put your bag into your vacuum, it's going to have a closed seal system,
mm-hmm.
where that dust and debris and all that stuff isn't going to fly into the air and basically disturb you or make the system, make your allergies worse.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be captured in the bag or the canister, and then you dispose of it. So you don't want it to reinfect the environment.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. I did just buy a new vacuum. My vacuum committed vacuumcide.
Oh, no.
So I did have to get a new one. But that's good to know. So for vacuums, look, you will have to pay a little bit of extra money, get one that has a HEPA filter. And when you buy the vacuum, how do you know if it has a closed system? Is that a selling point? Or
right. There's certain vacuum companies, and I don't like to name names, but when you
can name them. It's
when
fine.
You go to I have a Miele.
Uh-huh.
I like them. I love their product line for lots of reasons. And they have different vacuums for different situations depending on what you need. But
mm-hmm.
they do a very good job of containing the dust mm-hmm. in the bag or in the canister so it's not flying out into the environment. They actually have a system, which I love, where they have a vacuum and you can put a cap on the canister. Because if you capture all this stuff in the canister, it still stays in your environment. So people who are susceptible to, say, pet allergens, and 5 to 10% of Americans are, that staying in the vacuum in the house is just going to continue to trigger them. So they actually have a cap where your hose connects on that you can cap that and close it so it doesn't blow back, just so it doesn't mm-hmm. get into the environment after
you
vacuum.
Great. Okay.
It's amazing, really. But, with the pet proteins, they're very, what's the word I'm looking for? They're very resilient.
Mm-hmm.
So they look like if I showed you under a microscope, it looks like a ball with little spikes sticking out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those get stuck to everything. They're like
right.
sticky balls. So just by vacuuming, it helps definitively, but you also have to wipe walls. You have to be very cognizant about cleaning vigilantly because those things stay behind. That's why a lot of people will move into a home and they'll have allergies immediately and they'll say, oh, I just purchased a new home and I'm really sick in it. The people had pets. And it can take years for them to dissipate. So, you know, allergic pets are great, but if you have somebody that's susceptible, it can really just wreak havoc on their immune system.
Okay. And you were going on to point number two after I asked you more about vacuums.
So, so vacuuming, that was the first thing. You've got to make sure pet allergens, and you want to be doing it frequently. Once a day, once every other day is definitely a necessity when you have animals. Also, you want to really try to keep them off, if you have people in the home that have allergies, off the furniture. Their pet protein, the protein usually comes from their saliva or their urine. Mm-hmm. So, or people think it's associated with fur. It is if they lick their fur and then the fur ends up on the floor. But most of the time it's coming from saliva and urine, and that if they, you know, get on your couch or they're on your bedding, will stay there and irritate you.
Mm-hmm.
So really try to keep them off the furniture if you have a susceptibility or if you know people are going to be coming over to your home that May.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have actually a caller, and folks, we are taking your calls. I was so interested in what Caroline Blazowski has to say that I forgot to tell you we're taking your calls here. Dr. Radio, 1-877-NYU-DOCS. That's 1-877-698-3627. And Caroline is our healthy home expert right here in America, and she's a certified mold remediator, indoor air quality expert, and she has a background in mold for healthy homes and healthy workplaces. So we're having a lot of fun having this discussion on how we can make our homes healthier. And vacuuming, of course, is one of them. I know a lot of people who really don't vacuum much, but you have to have a good vacuum, have to spend a little extra money for it. And we're going to talk about some other things we need to do that we can do at ourselves to help detoxify our home. But we do have a question for you from Irina in Nevada. Hi, Irina. What can we do for you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
What's your question?
What a timely subject. We were trying to purchase a home, and inspectors went into this home yesterday, spent 8 hours in the home, and found black mold. So my question to your guest is it possible to completely get rid of it live in a home like it never existed? I have two small children, so my concern is always, yes, they go in with chemicals and et cetera, but do they really, really get rid of it?
So I think the question is not only can they really, really get rid of the black mold, but when they get rid of it, the chemicals they're using, can those cause problems later on? Caroline, what do you think? I know this is something a question you probably get a lot.
Correct. So, yes, they can get rid of it. Yes. The most important part of this whole discussion is you need to have the house tested. So if they find it on the inspection, you need to go in and have an air analysis done by, anybody who's certified in indoor air quality should be able to do it. Sometimes inspectors do them depending on the state. Sometimes they don't. So you're going to want to take a sample outside, about three samples inside. I like to take one sample, air sample, on each level of the home to see the severity of what the mold is. Most importantly, it depends on the type of mold. So if you hear about this toxic mold that people talk about, those are certain types. So you may or may not have that type. And if you don't have toxic mold, it is easier to eradicate. And yes, it can be, once you remove the sheetrock and you have it remediated properly, it's fine. I do homes all over the country, and I can find mold almost anywhere. If you go behind a shower, if you go under a toilet, mold exists. What happens when we get concerned is when those air quality levels, Irina, are so high that it becomes a health issue. So that's why I'm saying to test. Before you buy that house, absolutely 100% test. If you can't find someone in your area, call our office. You can go on healthyhomeexpert.com. We have kits that we send out. You can actually take physical air samples like we do as professionals and send them to our lab. Whatever you have to do, you do that. Just test it to find out what's there and the severity of the problem.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you very much for your answer.
No problem.
Hi, Irina. Thanks for calling, and best of luck with your new home search.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's interesting. When I bought my house, they said that there was a clear signs that there was water damage and there might be some mold, but never had the air tested.
Every home before you purchase, if I can give two bits of advice,
yes, please do.
Two things you should test. Mold and water. Those are two things that if you get into a home that has problems in either of those areas, it can, one, be costly to you, and it can also cause you health implications down the road. So when you're making this big investment, to spend $350 to do a mold test is just common sense, and it should be done on every property that you purchase. And just because it comes back with some mold doesn't mean the property's that you can't purchase it. It just needs to be remedied. The concern that we have with toxic mold, and this is moving forward, when you have toxic mold, it can be cleaned up, but it leaves behind a mycotoxin is what we get concerned about.
Right.
It's not actually the mold itself or the beta-glucan or the protein. That's bad enough. But with toxic mold, they produce a mycotoxin as well, and that toxin gets into furniture and all kinds of things and stays behind. And a lot of people can't detoxify that. Their immune systems don't do well with it, and then they end up getting all kinds of medical conditions. So it's really important to test so you know what you're buying and what you're getting.
And to find a mold expert in our area, wherever that happens to be, we go to healthyhomeexpert.com. Is there a database? Like, how do we know who to go to?
Well, we don't have a database there, but I'm going to give you an organization which is very good. Each state is starting to sort of regulate, too, within the state. New York State just recently passed different certifications for New York. But you can go on an organization called ACAC.org, and there's a lot of people like myself who are highly, highly certified that you can type in your zip code, and then it'll present your location, who's in your area. And if you can't find anybody, then you can go to our site. We ship test kits all over the country to people from here to Ireland. So, I mean, we go internationally, we go nationally. So you can always order a kit yourself. You take a couple air samples, and then that comes back to our lab, and we can analyze it for pet proteins, volatile organic compounds, that's all the chemicals that you have in your home, personal care products, mold, lots of different things.
And it's the letters ACAC.org?
Correct.
Okay, so that's good to know. So, folks, if you're looking at a new home or wondering about your current home and you want to have it evaluated, you can go to ACAC.org and plug in your zip code and find someone, an expert in your area, to help you do that. Now, who do we ask about the water?
Water, you can find different people to do it. There's different companies. Like, our company does water testing. You order a kit, we send it to you. You basically fill it. That goes to our lab. We analyze for all different types of things. You know, people think about, of course, lead and arsenic. There's a lot of things that when you buy a home, people think, oh, it has city water. There's nothing I can do about it. But the water that you get that leaves the plant that ends up in your home is very different. It can have lead contamination. It can have arsenic contamination, copper contamination from running through the pipes. So you really want to test the water, and it can tell you things about the property. So, for example, at our company, we test radon from the water. And I just had a client today. It was funny. She called me back. I said, you had radon in her. I told her a couple weeks ago she had radon in her water. I asked her to pick up a radon kit to do radon testing in the home, and sure enough, she came back with very elevated levels. You're supposed to be below 4 picocuries. She was at 46.
Wow.
So testing your water gave you information about your home that you may not have known because radon does come up through the water pipes, and it can come into your home through your water system.
I'm so loving this discussion. This is so interesting, and you have such great information. And it's good, and I think it's a lot of things we don't stop to think about, and we have lots of callers to ask you questions. We have Kim from California. Hi, Kim. What can we do for you today?
Hi. I have a question. We had a toxic mold problem. We inadvertently had drilled into a pipe for our master bathroom toilet when we were hanging pictures. My husband thought he was drilling into a set, and he drilled into this pipe. And so for 8 years, we had, you know, this screw in a pipe, and it was holding these very heavy pictures. And we discovered it eventually when we were doing some home remodeling, and we had the professional mold remediators in, and they tested afterward, and we got an all clear that everything was fine. We're now probably 8 years later, and my 15-year-old son has come down with one autoimmune issue. He got that cleared up through, they said it was through a dairy allergy, but he's constantly still sick. And I'm wondering, could this be, once you've been remediated, this was the only place that, you know, the mold originated from. They tested all over our house. Once you've gotten me all clear, is there a chance it could come back, and should we be testing again?
Well, absolutely. I mean, mold can come back, you know, as soon as you have a water source or if your relative humidity gets high. I mean, typically when you you know, when you remediate and if you do proper air sampling and swab testing and they give you an all clear, you should be okay. You may have developed a new problem, but I think what I would look into is doing some mycotoxin testing. And basically what it is you basically take a piece of material from the home and you send it to the lab to see if you have any mycotoxin contamination that may have happened if you know definitively that you had toxic
mold.
And when I'm talking about toxic mold, I mean things like Stachybotrys, Eulocladium, Chytomium, the ones that they definitely determine that have mycotoxins associated with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that would be a good idea just to rule it out to see if, you know, anything was left behind because he did develop some health issues. I think that would just be wise. It's not terribly expensive. And, you know, feel free to call our office and we could set something up for you to do that. And the other thing that, yeah, it can come back, but not necessarily in the same location, mm-hmm. I think, or they didn't get it all. But if mm-hmm. you got clearance testing done, I'm sure you're okay.
And the site is healthyhomeexpert.com, Kim. And also, you know, make sure that your son is evaluated for all kinds of things, including, you know, Lyme disease and, you know, any kind of or vitamin D deficiencies or celiac disease. There's all kinds of issues that can present in strange ways. And you want to make sure you're getting a good, solid diagnosis if you can have it. And I know sometimes that's hard. It takes some time. So thank you for calling and listening to us here at Doctor Radio. And I hope your son is feeling better soon.
I think too, Samantha, yeah. I wanted to tell you, I think what you said was really, you know, a good idea. You want to be evaluated, go to the doctor first and be
yeah.
evaluated for all these different things. And then if you're left holding the basket and you've got these unexplained symptoms and you don't know what's going on, then you should start evaluating your home environment. Absolutely.
Do you think if you've lived in a house for, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, you should just every once in a while check the mold for mold in
what
the water?
What I recommend is each year, and this is what I do in my own home, do one test. So, you know, this year you're going to do radon. Following year, you're going to do water testing.
Mm-hmm.
Following year, you're going to do mold.
Because it's not inexpensive.
Right. And it's
yeah.
like, I mean, you're talking a couple $100s.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So you do that one a year. And if you're going to be a homeowner, you should really do this. And then, you know, you could repeat. Like, mold should be done every 3 to 5 years. That's
okay.
what I recommend to my clients.
Okay.
So, you know, that just keeps an eye on, is there something in the walls that you can't see, that you have a leak? A lot of the problems come from, you never see water. You'll have condensation from relative humidity that gets too high. Basements
mm-hmm.
get damp just because they're cold and they've got high relative humidity,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get moisture. Has nothing to do with ever having a leak. So you don't necessarily have to have water intrusion to have mold.
Yeah, I got a new dehumidifier for my basement, and
nice.
It made a huge difference because I had mold on my walls, and I'm using bleach to clean it, but the new dehumidifier clearly works a lot better than the old one. We only have a couple of minutes left. Beth from California, my dear, I'm going to take your question. Do you have a very quick question for my guest, Caroline, today?
How do you, if I have mold on the window in the bathroom, on one of them, it's old paint under there, and I think, should I take Clorox to get the mold off? And then I'm sure there's lead paint because it's an old house. How do I keep all that, and how do I, so that's question. That's my question.
That's your question, Caroline. We're just about out of time. Do you have a quick answer?
So really quickly, you know, you just want to make sure you have it evaluated to see what kind of mold it is. If it's just growing there based on a moisture issue from a shower type of situation, I don't recommend using bleach on mold ever because the combination between that and a mycotoxin can have a bad effect.
Good answer.
Try some hydrogen peroxide. Try some vinegar and water first to remove it.
White vinegar?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. White vinegar and water.
Mm-hmm. And how do you inexpensively test that mold? What's the least expensive way to test that mold?
Basically, there's a couple different tests out there. You could do a swab test on that, which would be good. If you go on different websites, if you know, just Google, or if you even go to our website, we don't have a particular swab test, but there's one that you can just swab and send away. So then you'll know, you know, what it is. I don't think it's anything serious. It's probably just collecting there from moisture from the window being old and, like you said, cracked and just the change in temperature.
Mm-hmm.
But
and what's the swab test called?
It's just called a swab test, and they're usually about $35, give or take, so you could just, you know, swab that area and send it away to see what it is.
Okay. All right, Beth,
thank you so
great
very much.
Question.
No problem.
Thank you. And another quick question, because everybody wants to talk to you, of course. What about mold on humidifiers? Because I know people don't clean them as well as they should or as often.
Absolutely. I'm not a big proponent of humidifiers
yeah.
for many reasons. They create holes, a lot of bacteria. They create a lot of mold. People don't maintain them properly. I'm okay if you get a portable one that you can clean and has a UV light on it. I don't like using them in HVAC systems because they have a tendency to get gucked up with all kinds of different things, and then you've got to worry about stagnant water, Legionnaire's disease, things like that. So I would rather you have a portable one. If you're going to put moisture in the air, do it with plants. Plants add the right percentage of moisture. So you can add a plant to a room, so that'll really help add some relative humidity. Mm-hmm. Or you can use a pot of water on, if you have a baseboard mm-hmm. system, it always mm-hmm. works great. But be very cautious about using humidifiers. When
right.
you do, they can increase your risk of sinus infection.
Okay. And so. Caroline Blazowski, great information. Fabulous segment. Folks, it's the weekend. Take care of yourself. Get your mold checked. Eat some beans this weekend. Make a nice soup. Drink some fluid. Take a deep breath. Be kind. Enjoy the weekend.